Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Jake, I just retweeted some video of Canelo hitting the water bag. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. There you go, Mike. There you go, Mike. He looks in shape to me.
I wouldn't want him to hit me.
How much would you do? I mean, how much?
No, there ain't no money.
We were talking about that the other night.
Nope.
What's the question?
How much money would you take a shot from Canelo?
Nope. Mm-mm. No, I ain't got that much time
five
left.
Grand?
I can't afford to die with one
five
punch.
5 grand?
Yeah.
Five grand?
One punch?
Seriously?
One punch?
No,
not times I've been punching my life.
No, there ain't enough money out there.
One punch?
Nope.
Sure.
I think I'd have to.
I'd be a vegetable. I'm pretty much a vegetable right now.
Not
anyway,
enough money to fix brain damage.
Yeah.
Six figures.
I'm pretty much a vegetable.
For one punch?
Yeah, in the face? Yeah. I mean, he crushed that guy's orbital.
Right.
I mean.
Well, that was, you know, that was several punches over the course of.
Yeah. Just take one.
I bet you it was just one that did it, though.
All right, 10 grand.
Okay.
Between 5 and 10, 5 grand probably. I mean, you know, 10 grand. I've been punched for so much less.
Start off for $100,000.
I wouldn't.
So you're talking about a fight. Then if you're talking about a fight.
No. No. Gosh.
You see that?
You have brain damage. If you for 5 grand, you take a punch from him.
I used to take punches for free, so maybe.
I still do, actually.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, hey. Canelo, he wouldn't punch me. He wants me to keep going.
It'd be a phantom punch.
Haven't you heard the liner on this radio station?
Yeah. It'd be a phantom punch.
We don't usually play Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati.
Hi, Stephen. I'm Canelo Alvarez. I enjoy your program, Border Patrol. Keep going.
Keep going. Why would he want to punch me? He wants me to keep going. I mean, I keep going if he punches me.
Do it for money. Charity. A charity thing.
He knows how much I love him. All right, let's talk about Cinnamon Toast Crunch, who was sitting behind home plate at the Mets-Marlins game.
There was another one where there was no people.
Would you?
That's why.
Would that bother you if you were on the mound?
Yes.
Would you complain?
Yes.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch paid for their tickets.
I'm sorry, but no. No, that bothered me.
What's the problem with this right here?
No. Eyes are too big.
It's better than Marlins, man.
Look, Cinnamon Toast Crunch looks pretty surprised at all times, though. You're right.
Oh, he looks thrilled to be at that baseball.
He's the one that gets eaten.
Yeah.
First of all, that's my kid's favorite cereal. So there's Cinnamon Toast Crunch around me at all times. And so I didn't know. I was
on the mound, I didn't notice anybody in the stands. But that one, I would notice him.
Huh?
I would have noticed that sitting behind there, yes.
So, Jake, you don't like mascots. Do you like Cinnamon Toast Crunch for appearing at the Mets Marlins game? You like
creepy,
that, don't you?
Dude. That's scary.
The only question I have is, like, look, I'm sorry. You got to pitch. If I'm the ump, you got to pitch. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is there. He bought a seat. You got to pitch, Mike. But you'd complain.
Yeah.
You'd find a way to get it done, though.
Well, yeah, because if the umpire said anything, I'd just have the catcher phantom miss one and keep drilling him until he did something about
it. That guy's a mouth breather.
But the question is, what if you're sitting behind Cinnamon Toast Crunch? It doesn't appear like you could see.
There's nobody there.
I mean, what? You know, like that?
Nah. There's They all seem to be really happy.
They're all smiling
This guy could move around him.
You could move.
They're all smiling.
Yeah,
the only guy that looks
there.
Mad is the guy sitting right in front of Cinnamon Toast.
Right.
He looks like he's a
that
little
might
freaked
bother
out.
You? I don't know.
Cinnamon Toast peering over your shoulder. Like
I don't
that.
Know that he's smiling. He's
no,
like, hey.
But he could move. There's right. empty seats everywhere. Nobody's going to show up to that game. Mets and Marlins.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch did.
Well,
what is behind home plate?
That would be SpongeBob.
No.
Or is that a Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
That's a Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Gary.
How can you tell the difference?
Oh, you love that cereal.
Mr. P. Ron Darling.
Cabrera misses down with a curveball to start off McNeil.
Like, how about these people behind him?
Well, I would be a little PO'd if I were they. paid all the money for those good seats and being blocked by a breakfast cereal? You know how when you were a kid, you'd get the big box of breakfast cereal and you'd pour it and then you'd read the box? There'd be like games on there or
stuff.
That's right. So those people are reading the back of the Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Get the pen out through the maze or whatever was on the back.
Really is quite unneighborly, I will say. It's getting the good FaceTime, though. 2-0 to McNeil. Takes a strike.
Like how one guy thought it was SpongeBob. Like, no, that's not SpongeBob. That's Cinnamon Toast Crunch. Hey, it's probably better than the Mets and Marlins game, to be honest with you, right?
Ron Darling, he was enjoying it.
Look, when you get to this time of the baseball season, you need some things to lighten the mood a little bit, you know?
Especially against bad teams.
Like a bad team,
Or like when the Royals and Orioles are playing. I mean, it's otherwise there's a lot of standing around. And
could have had Captain Crunch there.
Comment on that crowd in your old...
I told my wife.
Between two of your old teams.
Said, this is the smallest crowd I've ever seen there. And then they go on and said it's the smallest crowd ever. Paid attendance. The paid attendance is a joke because there's maybe 400 people there. They panned the whole stadium. I went, there's absolutely nobody here. And I told Jake, I said, everybody could have got a foul ball and went home. And I'd never seen anything like it.
Except for the
pandemic crowds.
What exactly have they done in Baltimore to arrive at this point? I know like the Royals didn't exactly count down a magic number.
It's a combination of ownership. And they really got into the sabermetrics and all the other stuff. They hired all these non-baseball people. And any of the coaches, and I've talked to a couple of them, know that a lot of the stuff they're doing is completely wrong. But, hey, I need the job. So I'm just going to shut my mouth and do what they tell me to do.
What do you mean completely wrong? The baseball decisions?
Baseball
tanking
decisions.
Tanking or?
No, it's just...
They're like 5 years into their tank job, though. Like,
they're not just trying to tank. They just suck. That's all it is.
I'm like, what are they doing?
They don't know. They're a ship lost.
Well, I thought you were going to say something else there for a second.
Well, it is.
A blank show.
Yeah. No, it's bad.
Lost. Do you remember when it was the, when that was the ALCS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And who did I root for?
The Royals.
Thank you.
It is a shame, though.
Oh, man, I got some hate mail from that.
There won't be a rematch in the playoffs anytime soon. I'm just going to let
you
know.
The Royals got a better chance than the Orioles.
Right.
They got a better chance.
But the Orioles aren't going to be there in my life.
No. Maybe. Maybe again. Not. Not unless they change. They got to figure out. They got to change something.
You got hate mail from Baltimore?
Like, when I.
You went on a Baltimore radio station.
And told them I was rooting for the Royals. Yeah. It's my home.
But what did they say? Like,
oh, gosh.
On the radio, did they push back at you? Like,
a little bit. But then I said, you know, look, I was in Baltimore for 8 years. I've been here for 20-some years at the time. And it was like, this is my team. I said, yeah, I had great success in Baltimore. Some of my greatest memories are there, great friends. But the bottom line is, this is Kansas City's my home, and the Royals are my team.
And they didn't like it.
They didn't like it. No.
Do you go back to Baltimore and do many appearances now?
Mm-mm.
You have in the past.
I have. You know, every once in a while I'll go and do a suite visits. They got guys that come out and do it. They go from suite to suite, sign autographs and stuff like that. But I haven't done anything for a while.
But they're not pissed off anymore, are they?
Yeah,
they should be mad
fine.
At their own organization for...
Yeah. And
seems like maybe they're not mad or they just don't care about anything right now, considering there was...
It's sad because that used to be a great organization. And the stadium's cool.
Oh, it's one of the best in the league.
Really
it still
cool.
is. To me,
Except for when you go into the offices, you can get lost in that warehouse.
That's just awful.
Yeah, I still get lost. Yeah.
That's a cool place to have your offices, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they.
It's really neat there. It really is.
Yeah,
it's just a shame that that the organization's got to this point.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, after they did get the win last night. So,
well
now things are looking up for them.
Coar was, he's got to figure something out.
When the Orioles are 44-93, so.
Coar's got to get a two-seam fastball, and he's got to get a consistent release point. I was sitting there watching last night, I'm going, every release point from all of his pitches were different. I mean, you got to have a consistent release point to make things work.
So explain to people why that's an issue.
Well, if you release it a little high, you're going to be high in the zone. You release it a little low, you bounce it. Then you got your different pitches, your curveballs, and his breaking ball is awful right now. It's not good. Doesn't hardly break. It's just rolls. And his changeup, like the other day when it was on, it's fabulous. But you got to throw it for strikes. You can't bounce it in the grass. There's got to be some consistency there. And it's just like when Singer threw the other night. He was great. But where's the consistency? He's got to do that 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5 games in a row, you know? So it just makes it difficult to watch and go, come on, let's figure this out. You guys should be able to figure this out. A four-seam high fastball for Coar, and that's all you got, you're not going to fare very well. I don't care if it's 95 to 98. I wish he'd back off and locate some pitches. He has a really good delivery. But you have to spot some location, you know. We talk about it all the time. Be able to throw the ball where you want to. Give me 92 to 95, and locate some fastballs. That, you know, and back off. He's overthrowing his breaking ball. It's awful.
He's looking for strikeouts, Mike. That's what it's all about today.
I don't know who got a hold of him and said, "Hey, you know, if you really." Really torque and overdo this, you know, you can gain 3 miles an hour to your fastball. Yeah, big.
That's the way every kid's taught now.
I know, it's ridiculous.
It's all about getting velocity. So
it's all about velocity. Yeah, yeah.
Forget strikeouts are the name of the game.
He's got seven strikeouts last night.
Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. How many walks? How many walks did he have?
He only had 3.
Yeah, 2 in the first inning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How did that pan out?
Well, he gave up a couple long fly balls.
Yeah. Uh huh.
The thing is, so I think it's interesting you said he needs to pick up a two-seamer. So for people that I guess maybe don't know the difference, of a four-seam fastball usually has a little more velocity and rises up a little bit.
Yeah, just a hair. His doesn't rise a whole lot.
And it's a two-seamer, it can sink a little bit, and it doesn't quite have as much velocity on it.
Yeah, and it moves, and you get a lot of ground balls.
So I remember when the Royals – current regime started taking over, everybody was being taught a sinker in the organization, and they wanted guys to go more towards the four-seamer and really build up their arm strength and get the ability to locate the
four-seamer.
It's really
panning out well.
Well, I mean, hey, they put together a team that won a World Series, but I
yeah, but look at the guys that were doing that. The bullpen, maybe, but not the starters.
Did you throw both?
Yes.
A four-seamer and a two-seamer? Do most starting pitchers throw both?
They should.
But do they?
Not anymore. They used to, yeah.
Why don't they?
A lot of guys used to throw what they called a BP fastball, batting practice fastball. Mm-hmm. Get them geared up, 2-0, get them geared up for a fastball. They see fastball, and they're going out to crush it, and it's not there. And they roll over it and hit a ground ball.
Because I remember, like, Jeremy Offelt, it was like he was alternating. Sometimes he was, I'm going to work on my four-seamer, and then things wouldn't go well. I'm going to do the two-seamer. I'm going to do more sinker stuff.
Yeah, but that was Offelt.
So... You don't have to be an either-or guy, though, is what you're saying. You can should be able to throw both.
You should be able to. All you do is change your finger positioning on the baseball.
Right. You're not changing your motion or delivery.
No,
or anything
everything
like that.
Exactly the same. And that's what I was talking about is release point.
Yeah.
Your release point on your fastball, changeup, breaking ball should all be the same, consistent. The landing spot when your front foot hits, you shouldn't be able to tell that there's any place else you're stepping. Landing spot, release point, it's a balanced thing in you can throw the ball pretty much where you want to.
I know Hernandez throws different fastballs.
Yes, he does.
Do any of these other young guys, do you see them working with two different like fastballs very often?
Well, Singer throw both.
Yeah.
You know, but and eventually I think he'll figure it out and be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're college kids. They're not young kids. I can see a young kid, you know, trying to figure this out. But these guys, they've had a lot of time on the mound. They should be able to figure this out quicker. So somebody's in their heads with this velocity thing. And I just, I'm not big into it. I'd rather see him locate some pitches. I mean, Salvi gets beat up every game he catches. Think about it. He's taking balls that bouncing all over the place, throwing balls. He's trying to jump up and catch balls that are going over his head. You got to do better than that.
Well, and the thing is, like, we've talked to J.J. Piccolo about this a lot. What they're trying to communicate to these young pitchers is the strikeout's great when you need one.
When you need it. You know? That's exactly right. If they're telling these guys that,
last night
they all say it.
Yeah,
all the managers. Ned said it.
Right.
You know, Matheny says it. You know, he didn't locate well, or he didn't spot the ball well, or didn't. Yeah, it's been that way for how many years now?
Well, it's like
you have to be able to throw the ball where you want to. It's all about location and movement.
But you can understand, like, you know, the bouncing a ball when you got runners at second and third, and you need a strikeout, and you're
breaking ball in the dirt,
but not
in the grass.
Right.
It doesn't hit the grass.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well, my point is, like, so last night you look at the first inning, and Steven asked Bluma yesterday, okay, what's the key for Kowar? And he said strike one. That's the key. He's got to get ahead. He's got to pitch in the strike zone. Walks first batter of the game.
Walks the second batter of the game. Yeah.
And it's like, you don't need to be going for a strikeout. Then there's nobody on base.
No.
You know?
You go for the strikeout when you need it.
Right.
That was Jim Palmer's thing. Go get it when you need it. Otherwise, back off. Get yourself a fly ball, a ground ball. You know? Break a bat. It's so frustrating to see the talent these kids have. And they just don't get it. They just can't figure it out. To locate, you know, and there's times when you make a good pitch, and Nicky Lopez dumped one out there yesterday. Mm-hmm. He made a good pitch, okay? That happens, okay? Maybe another guy dribbles one through the infield. Okay, you got two guys on. Now you need the punch out. Now you go get it. But until then, you don't need it. And these guys could go 6, 7, 8 innings, 9 innings if they did that. You don't go 110% every pitch the whole game. You can't do it. You're not going to make 5.
Okay, let's talk about somebody that is kicking ass. Last 60 days, last 2 months, 49 innings, a 2.94 ERA, a 1.02 whip. Last 30 days, 31 and a third innings, a 2.30 ERA, and a 0.96 whip. And overall for the season now, 3.57 ERA, a 1.22 whip. I know you don't like strikeouts, but he has 69 strikeouts, which is remarkable, in 70 innings. Carlos Hernandez.
I like him.
Mm-hmm. So, but there was a time when he came in the rotation, you didn't know, right?
Right. Well,
what has he done that the other guys haven't done to lead to this success?
He has a lot of movement, okay? He doesn't have to be fine.
Because he's been remarkable.
Yeah. He doesn't have to be fine with his pitches. Throw the ball and let it work. His ball moves all over the place. His stuff's really good with a lot of movement. Movement. And you can ask any big league hitter, some of the greatest ones, they would rather see a 98-mile-an-hour straight fastball than a ball that's moving. It's harder to hit. It's hard to do anything with. Hard to barrel up. And he has that movement. But he can never throw strikes with it. So now all of a sudden he's starting to throw strikes. It's really tough to hit. He's got really good velocity with it, with that movement. It makes it double hard to hit.
But it's just interesting how things can change. At the beginning of the season, nobody
knew him.
Nobody could.
Well, he couldn't throw a strike to save his life.
But I couldn't get anybody on the show to say that Hernandez had a better outlook than Singer or Kowar or Bubich or Lynch or anybody. And now. And this is just 1 year, but now, I mean, if someone's going to...
You've been seeing it consistent.
Right.
That's what I talked about earlier. Give me some consistency. And the kid's done it. The kid's going out there, and he's being pretty darn consistent. That's all you look for.
So he's doing what... So how much credit do the Royals get?
Somebody got a hold of him and said, hey, this is what you need to do, and he's done it.
Because the point is, it's not.
Because if JJ said they're telling these guys this and they're not doing it, something's wrong. Right.
They're not all falling flat. Wrong. He's
right.
Performing very well.
Right.
Okay. Singer, as of late, has been much better.
Better.
One of his best starts, maybe his best start of the year,
the
was
other day,
his last start.
Yes. Yeah.
Why?
He located. He threw the ball where he wanted to.
See, when you say that, it sounds so simple to people that don't understand pitching.
It is
so like,
simple.
Why doesn't he locate every start? Like,
exactly. Why not? There's going to be starts where you, and we are human, and we feel bad on some days. Maybe I got a little ache in some place. Maybe my knee hurts.
Right.
Something that can throw you off a little bit. But if you're healthy, you should be able to go out there and consistently throw the ball inner third, outer third, if you're in the big leagues.
7 innings, 4 hits, no runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts.
Right.
Beautiful.
That's a great outing. It's a great outing. But consistency. And they get the days you don't feel quite right, maybe that's 7 with 2 runs. Maybe 3 runs tops.
Okay, so of the guys, because I'm not gonna talk about Ace Lacy until he gets closer and until he gets, you know, I'm not going to include him in the conversation. Because we don't know what he looks like right now, and the numbers don't
he's
look great.
He's big and he's left-handed.
There
we know what he looks like.
So, of the guys we've had a chance to watch this year, the young group between Hernandez and Singer and Kowar and Bubich and Lynch. So how do
Hernandez is by far the best of the group.
Of course.
Just watching him, what he's doing, and doing it consistently, that's, yeah.
So I'm telling you to rank them as far as who you feel is going to succeed and end up being in this rotation, being a productive starting pitcher moving forward.
All of them could be.
But they're not all going to be, right? This is not how things
work
out.
Probably not.
That would be amazing
if they all,
right. I'm just saying
they all could be if they stay healthy.
Right, but you've seen enough and how they handle
Hernandez is by far the
adversity,
best.
So
I would probably go Lynch second.
Yeah, you'd have to be nuts not to put the money on Hernandez because you're seeing him
do it. I'd probably go Lynch second.
Why Lynch?
Singer.
Okay, why Lynch second?
Because he's left-handed.
All right,
and he's got really good stuff.
Okay, then who would be next?
Singer, probably in my book.
So that's changed for you because you used to be Kowar,
yep.
But now you think Singer has a better chance of panning out.
Kowar hasn't made any adjustments at all. Zero, none. That's very disappointing because he could be unbelievable. He could be just lights out.
And Singer has tried to throw his curve or his change up
more.
And he has admitted that.
Yeah.
And he has talked
and
about
he's
it.
Bumped he's, up. He's bumped up in my list. I'd put Singer at third. Yeah. I never thought Singer was a number one. I thought he was a good, solid 3-4 guy.
I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's pretty much where I pictured him. I knew he'd get here quicker. And I figured I looked at him as a good, solid number 3-4 starter.
He was the highest floor but the lowest ceiling when he came in, you know, out of Florida.
Yeah. Now we knew that. They knew that.
Right. And that's what happened. Right. He got here first. He had some success.
Yep.
But he's
getting better.
Okay.
He's getting better. I still don't think he's not a top one or two.
But Kowar concerns you because of the lack of adjustments?
Yeah. He doesn't make any.
Well, he's going to have to.
Either that or bye bye. That's how it works.
But
if you don't make adjustments in the big leagues, you make adjustments all year long. Even if you're good, you make adjustments. Because hitters adjust to you. Teams adjust to you. You better make adjustments, otherwise you can't survive.
What about Bubich?
I don't know if his stuff's good enough, to be honest with you.
To be in the rotation?
No, he could be a fifth starter. He could. I don't think, as far as on the list, I'm talking about the list. Because Kowar would be my number 4 and then Bubich.
So you're remaking the rotation, not now. But do you think?
But if Kowar doesn't make some adjustments, he's got the best stuff, and he's got a nice, smooth, easy delivery, and then it all falls apart right at the end.
So then what? Because coming out of the draft, you liked him the best.
Because his delivery and his stuff, and it was effortless.
So what would you do with him in the offseason? if they gave you Jackson Kowar and they said, fix him, Mike Boddicker, what would you do?
I'm going to get a dime, and I'm going to set it out there at 60 foot 6 inches, and I want you to consistently throw it knee-high over that dime. And once you can do that, we'll figure the rest of the stuff out.
Are nerves still an issue with him, you think?
No. I don't think so. Because the game before last, he had a decent game. Mm-hmm. It was decent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watched him, the first inning, he's out there going...
Not even nerves, but I'm not... Okay, so I'll take...
He was taking deep breaths.
I'm too amped up.
Emotion.
I'm sitting there going, seriously?
Yeah. Nerves is not the right way. Emotion. Because, look, hey, they're...
Oh, come on. You're a college kid.
Well...
You've been here once. You got your lunch, the games you pitched. Okay, come on.
Got his ass handed to him.
He did. He did.
Some guy, that's a struggle for some professional athletes' whole careers, dealing with their emotions.
Well, then you probably shouldn't be around.
Well, yeah, but guys can grow from that, too, right? Like, they can, you know.
No, that's too soft. I'm tired of the soft stuff and coddling and crap. I'm tired of all the coddling. Either you do it or you don't. Hit the road. If you can't do it, hit the road. Let somebody else deal with you. Yeah, maybe they could pitch for them. But I'm sorry. I'm trying to win now. If you want to get there soon, you can't coddle these people. That's all I see anymore is a lot of coddling. Oh, you know, hey, we got to watch his pitch count. We got to be careful. They send guys out to see mentally, how do you feel? How did you feel about that performance? I'm sorry. You either sucked or you don't. You know, you give it your best effort, and here you go. You're in the big... Nate, this is the top of the mountain.
It's the big show, Nate!
It's the top of the mountain. Whether it be soccer, basketball, football, baseball, you're the best of the best in the world. And if you can't
cut it, bring somebody else
up that can cut it. Because I'm tired of watching this crap.
Well...
You can well till you're blue in the face. You're not changing my mind. I'm tired of it.
Come on, Nate.
I mean, you're not advocating for cutting Jackson Coar right now.
If he can't figure it out,
yeah, but you got to give him some time.
In the minor leagues,
right?
Go back to the minors because you're not going to pitch here until you figure it out.
But there is an element. I understand what you're saying. There's all these stages to the minor leagues to get you ready to compete at the big league level. I get that, but there is still. A learning curve once you get there, right? Like, it's a different level of competition when you get there. And some guys pick it up a little quicker than others.
Yeah, and if you can't pick it up, go back to the minor leagues and figure it out. And then when we bring you up next time, and you get five times. And if you can't make it in five times, you shouldn't be here.
Well, he had his issues. He went back. Now he's back again. And the results are not promising.
No, not until he figures it out.
But he's going to be up for the rest of the year to see what he does.
Yeah, throw him out there. Keep throwing him out there and see what happens. And if he can't cut it, guess where you're going to be next year, young man? You'll be laboring in Omaha. Because if you can't figure it out, that's where you need to be. I'd be a great GM. I'd be honest with them, and that's it. We drafted you for a reason.
This guy sucks. Get him out of there.
We drafted you for a reason. Figure it out. We've given you this amount of time to figure it out. We've given you the people to help you figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, and because you just said, J.J. Piccolo said, you need to do this, and they're not doing it. Well, how can they not do it? If you're told... by your general manager, assistant general manager, your coaches, hey, make an adjustment. Make a change. You have to. Otherwise, you shouldn't be here.
If you're stubborn and you've had success doing what you've done your whole, up to this point, don't you have to, some guys are stubborn enough where they have to have failure and they have to actually experience failure before they make a adjustment?
This isn't college. This isn't high school. This isn't even in the minor leagues.
But some guys have to get their ass kicked before they turn things around.
And, yeah.
I mean, George Brett had to get his ass kicked for a while before he
made changes. Lynch made some adjustments. Lynch made some adjustments. Coar come back up, and he hasn't really made the adjustments I was expecting.
Okay, what were you expecting?
Location.
But, like...
Just effort. His delivery and everything's so effortless. You should just be out there and just pop. right there at the same release point all the time. And I see him, he's nice and smooth, and then he just torques just tries to throw the crap out of the ball.
So for the many of us that didn't pitch, I'm trying to, like you're making it sound so simple, location. Like, I don't think he's up to, he doesn't want to make
bad
pitches.
When you have that nice of delivery, it should be that easy.
So what's he doing wrong then?
He's torquing at the end. He's trying to overthrow the baseball.
He's overthrowing.
Yeah.
And do you think, because like Cal Eldred gets ripped all the time. Like, don't you, like, doesn't Cal Eldred see that? You would assume he sees that and he tries to tell him and then Kowarts is not doing it, or?
There's an old saying, Stephen, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
And give him some salt pills and make him thirsty.
Yeah. Well, that's called the minor leagues.
We use that with Jake.
That's
we can lead Jake
minor
to water,
leagues.
But sometimes.
There's your salt pills. Right. Here's the minor leagues.
Jake challenged you. Jake thinks he can make the horse drink.
You can.
I just so
so it's not on Cal because everyone because that's been.
I'm sorry, I'm fired up today.
Yeah, I want you to be. But for a long time, what do people say? I fire Cal Eldred. This guy. So, but it's not the pitching coach's fault if he's delivering the message and the guy's not.
You can go out and work with him, and sometimes there might be some little thing you tell him that make it click. But until the kid's ready to say, okay, this is how it's done here, and this is what I have to do to stay here and be successful here, if they can't figure that out...
Don't you think they should coddle them a little bit more?
No, I'm so freaking tired of coddling.
Yeah, but just because you're giving someone time to figure things out doesn't mean you're necessarily coddling them. You know, I mean, I'm not saying they got to keep him up for 2 years while he sucks, but for an example, just try to use a metaphor here.
Give us an example.
I'm just trying to think of like a metaphor that maybe people can identify with. Like your first, I remember my first year of college, I studied my ass off.
You did?
Like hours and hours and hours because I was I was sure that I was going to like, you know, flunk out of college and it was really hard to get like decent grades.
Jake, you just drank, didn't you?
After 2 or 3 years, I kind of figured out how to study a little easier, you know, like maximize my time. Maybe these are the things I need to spend my time on. These are some things.
But after 2 or 3 years, you're not into core courses anymore. You're into something you want to do.
Yeah, but I'm just saying you learn how to be more efficient with what you're doing. You understand that, okay, I feel comfortable in my surroundings now. I don't feel like I'm in over my head. And I just wonder if a guy like that, if he's over torquing and all those things, maybe he's still thinking to himself, man, I'm facing big leaguers now, and every pitch I got to give it everything I've got because it could end up over the wall.
So they're all like that.
And maybe
so all these kids are like that.
Well, we're talking about Kowar right now.
Well, I'm talking about the whole group.
And maybe
besides
it takes a while
Hernandez.
Of getting their feet underneath them and realizing after a while that, you know what?
Man, am I having fun?
Then they probably shouldn't be here. They probably shouldn't be here yet.
He doesn't have to kiss anyone's ass, Nate. He's just telling it like it is.
I understand.
This is why our dads like him.
That's right.
That's why I like him.
That's right.
I want you to tell me like
too.
It is.
That's how it is. That's how it is. You see it all the way. It's not just the Royals. I'm watching other games out there, and it's the same crap. Until you get to some veteran guys who know how to pitch and know
what they're doing. How do you become a veteran, though, if you get sent out of the minors every time you struggle?
But they were successful. These guys were successful when they were young. And then they learned, kind of like your college thing, hey, I don't have to work quite as hard to get to this point. Mm-hmm. I can throw a little sinker and get a ground ball when I need it. I can do this. But they were successful before that. These guys aren't successful. They're not good right now.
We have a...
So until you can come up here and with that kind of stuff, how can you not dominate? I threw poop up there and did better than that.
Wow.
Gee,
we have a super
that was awful.
Bright red ass.
You're fired up today.
Mike Boddicker.
You could catch me with a wet Kleenex and I got people out. Come on.
That's very descriptive. We have our good friend, my good friend, Mike Nicholson, Coach Nick, who's on the staff for the Kansas State women's basketball team, says that if the Border Patrol makes shirts that say you either suck or you don't, he will buy 20 of them. And so I feel like we have our new T-shirt, courtesy of Mike Boddicker, on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let me tell you...
I've calmed down, Stephen.
I don't want you to calm down. Oh, okay. That's not good for me.
I'm good. I'm good now.
You're telling me that like I'm going to be happy. I don't want you
every
to calm
once
down.
In a while I get fired up like that. Sorry.
Papa said a bad word.
Yeah. I got a Snapchat from my daughter. And,
uh-oh.
Good.
And she's got taken the kids to school. She says, did Papa say a bad word on
the
radio?
Let me tell you something, kids. Papa just said a bunch of bad words in the commercial break. And I heard all of them.
Boy.
My ears are on fire. Okay, so go to Boddicker Foundation.org. Boddicker Foundation.org. And you can get more information about the 2021 Fall Charity Raffle. It's going to be a live event with winners announced on September 22nd, 2021. Hopefully.
Why are you grinning?
Because we had fun. Hopefully it'll be as much fun as the last one.
It is going to be this much fun.
Without the high anxiety of figuring out Facebook Live at the last second.
No, this is going to be
awesome, though.
This is going to be at the studio. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
2021 Fall Charity Raffle.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's some good stuff on here.
Good stuff on here.
All proceeds will support Children's Mercy through the Oncology Support Fund. And what you need to do to help support this wonderful cause, you can purchase tickets if you go to BoddickerFoundation.org, click on the Fall Charity Raffle, and you can buy tickets. If you purchase tickets.
Unlike the bourbon raffle, you can pick which ones you want to put your $5 in.
Okay, so you can pick the different items.
If you want a Yadier Molina bat, you put your money in there. If you want a George Brett bat, you put your money in there. If you want a George Brett jersey, you put your money in there.
Each raffle ticket costs $5, Each ticket purchased may be allocated to your preferred item. Yep. Okay, I'm going to run down what we've got here. Are you ready? Tell me.
All these are signed, by the way.
All of them are signed.
Yes.
Tell me what you would want. Nate Buchady or Jake Gutierrez.
I already know what I like.
You only get three yeses, so don't use them early. Number one, Whit Merrifield signed jersey and ball. So will it be a package or there's
package
two
deal?
Things?
You get both.
A package deal. The jersey and the ball.
I tell you what, my Royals stepped up big time. George, Jeff Davenport, they donated.
Tell them.
They donated. They were great.
Atta boy Royals, atta girl Royals, atta everyone Royals, whoever it was. I love you. Thank you so much. Salvador Perez autographed jersey and bat. Yes. Ding, ding, ding. Dong, dong, dong. Ding, dong, ding, dong, ding, dong. George Brett autographed jersey. Yes. Ring, ding, 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 ding.
You want the next one.
Wow. So, you know what?
Thank you, my friend.
Red ass.
Number four. I wanted to keep that just for you. I had to put it in.
Here's a number four combination that Jake will put all of his travel tickets towards. The Adalberto Mondesi jersey and Hunter Dozier ball autograph.
I'll put a ticket in there.
I would. The jersey's beautiful. It's fabulous.
And then, George Brett autographed bat. Would I rather have an autographed jersey or an autographed bat from George Brett?
Put money in both. You might win them both.
If you had to choose, Jake, what would you rather have? A jersey or bat? Autographed by Hall of Famer George Brett. You can only have one.
I want the bat.
Jersey. I already have a bat signed by Brett.
Oh, this is a big talker bragger. I love it.
I got a Brett Brothers bat signed by George Brett.
And here it is. And the sixth item on the list. Autographed bat signed by Bobby Witt Jr.
There you go.
I have been to three charity events where they've had a Bobby Witt Jr. autographed item, and I have been priced out within 30 minutes. Yep. Good God, Bobby Witt Jr.
I'm putting all my tickets, all three of them.
Royals, Legends, balls. How about that?
Yep.
Whose balls are they? Bo Jackson, Frank White, Alex Gordon, all autographed.
Yep.
And you get them all?
You get them all.
That's a hell of a package.
Yep. Three baseballs.
The Cardinals came through for you as well.
Yep.
Autographed bats signed by Paul Goldschmidt, Willie McGee, who always appeared to be smelling something that just stunk really bad.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Yeah.
He looked like someone farted right next to him.
Nice guy, though. Right. Super nice guy.
Well, he gave you an autographed bat. So, Yadier Molina, autographed bat.
Hall of Famer.
That's right.
He'll be a Hall of Famer.
You don't have a problem being the second best catcher in the state of Missouri, does he?
He has no problem with it at all.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that, but it's Salvi!
Yeah,
but number one!
Hey, whoa. Both of them's going to be in the Hall
of Fame.
That's right. So, we don't have to worry about it.
Adam Wainwright. Autograph ball, Nolan Arenado autograph ball from the Orioles. Ooh,
the canvas is really neat, really super neat.
Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken Jr. autograph canvas. A Norman Rockwell print of Brooks Robinson signed.
Yeah, and you got to understand, Brooks Robinson fell here about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and he had surgery and has plates in his left arm, and he signs left-handed. So I don't know if Brooks will be signing anything anymore.
Mike Boddicker, Leroy Neiman, personalized print. Oh,
my kids put that in.
Leroy Neiman's one of my favorite artists of all time, and also the ring announcer when Rocky Balboa took on Thunderlips in a charity event.
There you go.
One of the most underrated.
Leroy was a really neat guy.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. I got to go to his studio.
Oh, did you really?
In New York, yes.
See, I would like one of the things I've searched for to collect, I'd like the picture at the end of Rocky III. You remember when Apollo and Rocky it's the. And they go, Eye of the Tiger. But if they catch him in mid-punch when they get ready to punch each other, and then Leroy Neiman.
You want to ring the bell?
Yeah. I do.
Chiefs.
And by the way, if you found out, Rocky, Apollo Creed got the best of that exchange because he gave Rocky a black eye. So thank you. Chiefs. Travis Kelce, autographed jersey. Patrick Mahomes, autographed jersey, combined with the Patrick Mahomes Sr. autographed baseball. And Andy Reid autographed football. Smoking Brothers Super Bowl smoker package. How about that?
That is awesome.
It's got the 2-2, the date that they won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
On the grill, it's from Casey Grilling Company. You've been there.
Fantastic.
Yeah. That is awesome.
I love that place.
Gavin, he's...
Gavin's a wonderful man, and that's a wonderful place to go, especially if you love to cook out.
It's a great smoker. It's unbelievable.
You know who else is a great smoker? Jake Gutierrez.
Well, he used to be, right?
If he could put together a smoking package from Jake Gutierrez, I think a lot of people would bid on that. At least put the raffle tickets. And also, you can put raffle tickets towards experiences. An A-10 shadow experience.
Yes.
What in God's name is that?
Well, you're going to come in here and aggravate the hell out of you for an hour.
They shadow Jake. It starts at 3:30 in the morning.
Me.
You go on a
they're gonna
shadow Jake. Starting at 3:30, going a long run with Jake.
Then
what would they do?
You make your morning cup of coffee, then you sit down, you do meditation. It's about 2:30 and
about 2:30 coffee meditation.
Right.
I was up this morning.
You know, then you get on the road. You do your four.
Would
four
you talk
miles.
To him during this, or you like?
Sure.
Okay,
I'm trained to talk when I run.
Okay. I didn't know like the meditation. You can't talk.
No.
Silent meditation. Okay, and so that's a different. I don't know if they want that, but Jake would offer that up necessary.
His shadow.
What about?
It'd be fun in here.
There's shadows out at that time.
What about Spirit of KC? A
lot of booze.
Well, that's all you need to tell me about.
A lot of booze. Different brewing companies and different whiskey companies around the city. And
the best of KC basket.
That is all the different companies around KC where we reached out to. They donated gift cards, different things. And the basket's full of just great stuff.
All you have to do to go to get tickets is go to BoddickerFoundation.org.
Yes, $5.
And it's going to be September 22nd.
If you remember when we did the bourbon raffle, there was guys put $10 in and won some really nice bottles of bourbon.
Oh, so, it's worth it, but it goes to such a great cause. Even if you don't win, you win.
And that's the best part about that's why our bourbon raffle is so great because, and I've told you this before, this city is unbelievable stepping up, helping. The best city I've ever been in as far as charity goes. I mean, they really take care of each other and help out. And they go above and beyond, and you can see it here in what we got. But people step up, and there's so many people came in and picked up the bottles of bourbon that said, you know, I really didn't want to expect to win anything. I just wanted to donate to Children's Mercy. It's a great, great cause. That's what I'm talking about. Winning something's wonderful, but donating for these people who have kids in the hospital and, you know, trying to get by. Having a kid with cancer in there, you shouldn't have to worry about anything besides taking care of your kid.
And they can buy tickets now.
You can get there. It's open right now.
BoddickerFoundation.org. If you love Mike Boddicker, then you need to go and buy these raffle tickets, and all the money goes to a great cause with Children's Mercy. Okay? You heard Mike Boddicker talking about it, and then you can see this picture, which I'll be honest with you, it looks like Mike Boddicker with three jackasses. On this thing.
Pretty much so.
You either suck or you don't.
Can we put that on a shirt?
You either suck or you don't.
Well, thank you very much. Well, I'll give you the answer to that one. Mike Boddicker, any final thoughts on the youth of today? Nothing?
No, I've calmed down, Stephen. I can't go beyond that.
It's my job to
Lee Zach will never get on.
Well,
oh,
Jake says, "Keep talking."
Wow!
Hey, we gotta get. I need Lezak at my event. He's got to take the day off.
We'll work on that after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. And my man Jamie from the good folks at CBD American Shaman, they have said that he would love to make a donation and get involved.
Great.
And buy a whole bunch of raffle tickets or just make a donation to the cause, the Boddicker Foundation. So I'm going to connect you and give you Jamie's Perfect. Number. All the great people at CBD American Shaman, always ready to help and donate and be a part of all the charitable endeavors that we're involved with. And so just wonderful people.
Yep,
so thank you very much to Jamie.
Well, they got Frank Bull doing cartwheels, so it must be really good.
You put up with Frank Bull, and then that means you're a special kind of person.
You know
and
it.
They do it. And you know who else is a special kind of person? It's Gary Lezak. We welcome him into the show. Gary, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Good morning, guys. How's everything going today?
Good. You wore the coat that I liked last night again, didn't you?
Oh, you like that one?
Yeah, well, that's the one you wore last time. Remember I said my wife said she really liked that?
Yeah.
That's the same coat. It was the same jacket, wasn't it?
Gary.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Come on, Gary.
I thought you did it for me, knowing we were going to be on this morning.
Yeah, I think I'll do it every Tuesday night.
Perfect.
But I wore it last week, and this one viewer said she didn't like it. And I said,
seriously?
Well, I sort of like it. And she goes, well, I guess all that matters is if you like it, but I don't like it. But
No, that's a good jacket, Gary.
Guess what?
And
it's all that matters if you like it. That's right.
I wore it again last night, and the same lady wrote back. She goes, I still don't like it. So she wrote me twice.
And you should email back, and it still doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So we're good.
I told her, I still like it. Oh, dear. But it's definitely a strong jacket. But you can pull it off.
Mm-hmm. You can pull it off. Not many people could, but you can.
Gary, Mike Boddicker needs you September 22nd.
September 22nd. Yes.
Clear your evening.
Clear it. We still got to do lunch. You promised lunch here.
Didn't, I know.
Let's do this.
I think you promised lunch. I mean,
I'm waiting. I said, call me when you're free.
Gary likes that old liquid lunch, so if you got that available,
I can do that.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. We'll try to get that arranged.
My bet.
Otherwise, you go back to August the 16th. There you go. That sounds good.
That does
August
sound good.
On August the 16th, Mike. You know, speaking of the LRC, we made a forecast. Yeah. Put it on, it was tweeted out, the forecast for the month of September. It is an incredible prediction that's verifying. The forecast for the Chiefs game made 4 weeks ago was 90 degrees and sunny, and it's going to be 90 degrees and sunny. The forecast for the second Chiefs game on the 26th is 71, so we'll be testing that out, 20 degrees cooler, and the chances of rain in the last third of the month. But the long-range prediction for the entire month of September issued August 16th and put out there on social media and on the air is validating and verifying. Also, this tropical system forming in the Gulf of Mexico right now, it's a weak system. It was forecast to be a weak system to develop right now. That's right. And expect we're going to have a really, really interesting time to watch that system. But for Kansas City, it was 58 degrees this morning. Did you notice that?
Perfect.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. The humidity's low. Today's high will be 82. It's going to be near perfection today and tomorrow and dry for the Chiefs game on Sunday. All right. Three dad jokes for you today. Here we go. I accidentally burnt my Hawaiian pizza last night. I guess I should have used Aloha temperature.
No. That's forced.
Oh, I love it.
That was forced.
What do you call two barracuda fish? What do you call two barracuda fish?
What?
A barracuda.
Over two.
I was going to guess that, but I thought that wouldn't be.
Okay, I got to get one right then. A termite walks into a bar and asks, is the bar tender here?
Nate, did you like that one?
That was rough. Thank you, Gary, very much.
I'm
in
a reserve comment.
Did I strike out?
Yeah.
If I open,
you're out.
Yeah.
Swing, I didn't even.
It's okay. Hey, you know that's the old saying, that good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
You got to at least, you know, you got to take a swing, though, and you took a swing.
Thank you, Gary.
Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Here's Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, Gary. Turns out size matters. Don't buy the wrong size AC unit. Let our expert size your home for the perfect AC system. Better call Bob, 888-4-BOB. Remember, 913. Or BobHamilton.com.
Thank you to Gary Lezak, and thank you, Mike Botter. Give me the score right now. You got no time. Give me the score. Iowa State, Iowa.
Oh, Iowa State, they laid down on the first one. And they were looking ahead. I mean, you and I are always tough against them, but
Iowa State?
I got Iowa State by 6.
Ooh, back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kansas City's hometown sports station. Sports Radio 810 WHB, Kansas City.
What's up, Kansas City? Jake Gutierrez here. Have you ever looked at your credit card statement and been shocked by the interest rate? Well, I have. Did you know you can actually roll your credit card debt into one monthly low fixed interest rate? That's right. You can do it with LightStream. My friends from LightStream have visited SunTrust Bank. Lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Rate starts at just 5.93% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Plus, the rate is fixed, so it'll never go over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 all the way to $100,000. There are absolutely no fees. None. Zero. You can even get the money the same day that you apply. LightStream, they believe that people with good credit, they deserve a better loan experience, and that's what they're going to deliver just for you. And right now, just for the listeners of 810, you're going to apply and get a special interest rate discount now and save even more money. But the only way to get that discount is to go to lightstream.com/Jake. It's that simple. Lightstream.com/Jake. Check it out. See what they can do for you. Lower that interest rate on your credit card, that high balance. Get rid of it with that low interest rate. Lightstream.com/Jake is when you're going to do it at. LightStream.com/Jake. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR, include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rates require excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. Offers subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Jake for more information.